Justin, you know, the word coming into this year was depth. You guys had the pitching depth. You thought that'd be able to, you know, really kind of set the tone early, but you've had some injuries, you know, with Noah being out. How much do you think of it as depth that's really kind of helped, you know, pave the way, and how much is it that Matthew Becker and others have just stepped up and said, this is what we do?
Yeah, I think we got a great leadership group, and I think those guys have paved the way for other guys to follow. And, you know, when Noah goes down, there's just those guys that have been waiting in the wings to step up, and they've done a great job with it. You know, we felt like early, when Noah was healthy, there were guys chomping at the bit, you know, that wanted more. This time of the year, you almost always feel like you're thin. So, you know, guys have done a good job stepping up. We're going to need to continue to do that. And, you know, Becker's been huge. Jones has been huge. Hicks has been huge. We feel like our bullpen's been huge, being able to throw back-to-back days at times. We probably need another guy or two. SQ midweek last week was a big breakout for him. We're going to need him to fill innings. So I told the guys yesterday there'll be probably another guy or two that isn't really in the fold yet like they want to be that we'll need, you know, by the time things are all said and done.
You mentioned Becker there. What is it about him that's kind of allowed him to grab that third starter spot, and where is he in his development right now in your mind compared to maybe where he was this time last year?
You know, he's always been in the mix to do it. He did it last year. He's missed some time, both his freshman fall and his sophomore fall, that I think set him back a little bit from a health standpoint. But, you know, he's got unique stuff, and he's obviously left-handed on a staff that's primarily right-handed. You know, we felt like going into the year, if Becker was going to be in the mix to start, we were a better club. Just felt like our rotation would be more diverse. He's done a great job of continuing his development. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, like this last couple weeks, he's dabbled a little bit with dropping his slot at times. So he's kind of throwing a sinking fastball, a change, and a slider from here. It's helped him, you know, kind of get a little bit more east and west to the left-handed hitters. He's still kind of that primary riding fastball and overhand curve from up top. And, you know, I think it just adds another layer to what he's able to do, you know, from a game planning standpoint. He's able to get to a lot more weaknesses that way. So he's a great athlete. He's done a great job. You know, and as far as development goes, I think there's still another tick or two for him to still have. So he's done great.
Yeah, Justin, a couple weeks ago, Will was talking about the development of his sinker and how important that's been to him. Just curious what the process has been like as far as refining that pitch, and how important is it for him, you know, a guy who gives up some fly balls with his four-seamer, how important is it to be able to have a pitch like that in his arsenal?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you just look at the league, I mean, you have to crowd guys in this league. You can't let guys get extended. You can't just throw fastballs out over the plate. I think Will's home runs allowed numbers, I knock on wood, they're down quite a bit this year. You know, and in the preseason, we saw him up to 97, 98. He's pitching more 93, 94 now. But his ability to just crowd some righties, get some easy ground balls, keep his pitch count efficient with the sinker has been huge. And it's kind of the staple pitch. I mean, if you look at, like, what our staff has become, you know, I didn't necessarily know this was going to be the case going into the year. But if you just look at our strengths, how we've been different than the rest of the league, you know, we don't have like the premium velo that a lot of the other guys that we're seeing, especially the last 3 weeks. It's been unbelievable from a right-handed pitcher standpoint. But we crowd guys, we're fearless pitching to the inner third of the plate. Will, James, Eli Jones, Jack Mahoney, you know, those guys are pitching inside, and they're going to, you know, speed up the hitter's timing, and it's made them more effective. So I think that's kind of become our staff identity. Will's kind of just adding a different layer to himself to be able to do that as well, and it's been huge for him.
What do you try to teach your guys about, you know, getting out of jams and getting out of situations where there's multiple runners on base?
Yeah, I mean, we work a ton from the stretch. I mean, it's a bullet point, you know, that's like covered in the first meeting in the fall. I mean, we got to be at our best in the stretch. That's when it matters the most. We got to be at our best when our back's against the wall. We put a lot of emphasis on that. We put those guys in situations in fall practice and scrimmages where we're setting them up with runners on. And, you know, look, the guys that execute the game plans the best and pitch, you know, with a fearless mentality and you can trust out there to compete, those guys get the most innings. So we put a high priority on that.
Coming into the year, y'all had a pretty good idea of who your opening week in rotation was going to be, but maybe not so much on who would close out games for you guys. Is there anything or what about the way the pitching staff has evolved over the course of the season maybe has surprised you the most?
I think, you know, outside of the being able to pitch guys in and establishing that as our mentality, I think another one of our strengths is our versatility and our selflessness. You know, there's been a lot of guys that have felt like maybe they're primed for starts. You know, we talked about Becker already. James Hicks has started in the past. Eli Jones has been really good as a starter and has stepped up when his name's called. But I think the versatility allows those guys to be maneuvered around to get to the right matchups, you know, where if the right matchup is using Cade Austin in the seventh, then we're going to use him in the seventh. We're not going to hold him for the ninth. And having Chris Veach step up in that role, having, you know, again, I've mentioned Jones and Hicks and Cade Austin and Nick Proctor in spots, I think all of them have unique qualities that really serve well to certain types of hitters and usually certain spots in the order, and we're able to pick and choose, you know, based on what we think is the best for the matchup.
Justin, how much do you work with the team's catchers in terms of handling the pitching staff, or do you?
From a game management standpoint, every day. You know, I'm talking to them the whole game. We have all kind of different technology now that we're using for pitch calling, but I'm in their ear the whole game. You know, and I think Messina and French, both from a leadership standpoint and just like an alpha male standpoint, they've been awesome, man. I mean, I think maybe it gets talked about more, I don't know, but like Cole Messina's development and his growth to being not only like the player he's become offensively, but the catcher he's become and the leader he's become has been like transcendent for this team. So I'm with him every day from a game management standpoint. I'm with him in the bullpen all the time. From a technical standpoint, you know, how they set up, how they block, you know, how they do all that's more Coach Kingston. But game management, you know, those are my guys.
When you're talking with the catcher really about pitch count, pitch selection, that kind of thing, I know it's probably not a transmitter and they've just really got an earpiece, but are they allowed to overrule? Are they allowed to say maybe this would be better, or do you guys have to talk about that?
Well, it's a one-way mic, but their body language, you know, they have signs to tell me a lot, and I give those guys a lot of freedom to, you know, I'll ask them, I'll give them options. I'll say, hey, your call here, or this, whatever you think is best, or I'll ask them, hey, what do you think about this? And, you know, they'll yay or nay it. So I trust both of those guys.
What were your first impressions of Chris Veach, and what are your thoughts on kind of the way he pitches and celebrates, you know, with the fingers and
yeah,
all that stuff?
Yeah. So my first impression, you know, he came in as a two-way guy, as you know, and he still kind of dabbles in it because of our depth here. And he's a capable hitter. But, you know, my first impression was he was a little bit standoffish. He was hard to earn his trust, you know, and I kind of like felt like there were times in the fall where you know, he wasn't combative. Combative isn't the right word, but you had to earn his trust. Like, he's a smart kid. He's invested in pitching, and he's a good athlete, and he studies it. And, you know, it's like night and day different now than what he was when he first got here in the fall. And I love Chris Veach, man. I love him to death. I love all the antics. I don't care what he does. I love the competitor. You know, I prefer him to stay like more so with our side, you know, not necessarily talking too much trash directly to the opponent. But I love the energy, man. I think he's a real competitor, and, you know, just love having him here.
With Will, obviously he had that week off at Mississippi State, and he's been better since then. As a pitching coach, what are kind of signs that a guy might need a little bit of a pullback at certain points, and how do you kind of go about managing that through an SEC schedule?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things. I mean, we felt like there were multiple things that pointed to that being the right call, mainly just going back-to-back weeks on one-day short rest. I mean, we went the rain – I think it was a rain-out game on a – he pitched on a Saturday, then he was pitching on a Friday, then he was going to have to pitch on a Thursday at State. So we just felt like physically he wasn't, you know, quite as sharp and quite as fresh as we had seen him. You know, I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself at that time, and it was kind of felt like the right time to give him a mental blow. And at the same time, there were things that we needed to really work on, you know, throughout the course of the week that we felt like we couldn't really do while he was, like, trying to get ready for his next start. So all those things pointed towards just giving him a little bit of a breather. Hopefully give him a shot to the arm and really kind of boost his confidence. He's been better, and I think we've still yet to see Will Sanders at his best, which is, I think, the exciting part about this club.
Justin, just curious if the changes to the pitch clock and some of the new rules this year have affected maybe the way that you instruct pitchers or just your approach as a coach at all.
Well, first off, I love it. I mean, I love the pace. I feel like guys need to pitch with great pace, great poise, just great tempo, regardless whether it's between pitches or with their delivery. From a defensive standpoint, I think it keeps things engaged. There's been a few adjustments, you know, like the 30-second mound visit has been a little bit, like you'll see me like jog out to the mound now and jog back and then have to catch my breath. I mean, I'm just trying to capitalize on every second. So there's been some changes, but mostly positive. I'm a huge fan of it.
What are your thoughts on the way Cade Austin's been pitching so far this year?
I mean, Cade is one of the toughest guys we have. I mean, I think it's, you know, the numbers may not suggest this, but Cade is a guy that we all have tremendous faith in and confidence in. And you know, he's like I said, one of the best competitors, one of the toughest, most reliable guys we have. You know, we've used him in a couple different roles. We've brought him in the fifth or sixth. We've used him for multiple innings. We've used him recently more so in just three out stints. We know he's physical and capable of going back-to-back days. We've done that with him. We've even used him twice in the same day, you know, on the doubleheaders, and he's been tremendous with that. You know, he's another guy that I think if you ask him, he still hadn't pitched his best yet, but, you know, at the same time, you know, he's one of the toughest guys we got, and especially when you talk about nailing down, you know, the eighth inning or the ninth inning, those are the six hardest outs to get in the game, and he's a guy that we have a lot of faith in to do that.
As a staff, you guys are second in the league in pickoffs right now. You got a few different guys with a good move. What kind of a weapon is that for your staff, and how much do you work on really pickoff moves and kind of timing in between starts?
Yeah, I'd like to do the math on this, because I think the amount of guys we've picked off versus the times we actually pick off, I think is like we got to have the fewest pickoff attempts in the league too. I'd like to look into that. I hate picking. I don't want to pick. To your point, like I want the pace of the game. I want guys to be engaged. The majority of the conference, now we're going to play Kentucky here next week, but the majority of the conference, it's not in their playbook, really. You know, our pitchers have done a great job of changing looks, changing holds, picking just enough. But, you know, it's something that we work on it and we use as, you know, as we see fit. I mean, there's some guys that have been vulnerable to it, and we've taken advantage of it. But, you know, I don't necessarily like to pick. It just seems like for the most part it's a little bit more risky than I'm willing to do, but we've been good at it. So
I think Dylan Eskew kind of caught your eye before his start and maybe a midweek live at bat scrimmage type deal. What do you look for in things like that? And also with having only thrown three relievers last weekend and not having a midweek game this week, how do you handle some of your bullpen guys in those kind of sessions this week?
Right. Yeah. So it's hard, like when you're not in the fold, to kind of get in the fold or get the confidence or catch the eye of the coaching staff. Sometimes we do live at bats throughout the week or a scrimmage. Sometimes we don't, just from a health standpoint, from a timing standpoint. Dylan's a guy that came out of the spring right out of the chute and was outstanding in the pen. Didn't get off to a great start in his live outings and has just worked his butt off. You know, there's been trips where he's been left behind. There's been trips where he's been with us as a depth piece, and he's just done nothing but work. So really I just see from a preparation standpoint a guy that has become more confident because he's more prepared and, you know, just felt like he was the next man up in that situation, and he took advantage of it.
You kind of talked about earlier with Cade using him in, you know, any spot really for, you know, doubleheaders and whatnot, but how do you go about mapping out who you're going to use in a doubleheader per se, and then, like, do you have any guys in particular that you don't mind using twice in the same day?
Yeah, Cade's one of them. I mean, to answer your last question first, Cade's one of them physically. He can handle it. There are a couple other guys. Eli Jones is another one. We got to be a little bit more careful. I know we've done it, but we got to be a little bit more careful with Chris Veach. Got to be a little bit more careful with James Hicks. Those guys are coming off Tommy John in the last, you know, 18 months. So, you know, really when you talk about doubleheaders, I mean, the priority is win the first game, almost like treat it like there isn't a second game. And what we've been able to do with those bullpen guys is we feel like they all have distinct strengths and you know, areas and spots in the lineup where it suits their stuff best. Kate Austin is a guy that can really ride a four-seamer. He's got a good changeup. He's probably better versus lefties than, say, Eli Jones or James Hicks. So Jones and Hicks tear up the righties spots in the order. We try to cherry-pick spots for Kate to face more of the lefties. And then, you know, with Chris Veach and his changeup and his slider's pretty good too. He's kind of been able to do both at a high level. So,
can't believe we've gone this long without asking about him. But Eli Jerzenbeck was highly rated coming in here. He's kind of had up and down. Where do you kind of see him right now in his development, and what's next for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a big part at times, and there's been times where, you know, he's been kind of the next man up and you haven't really seen him on the weekend. He's kind of been in that flex role where he started some midweeks, he's been in the relief on some weekends, hasn't really breaking through like you know, in the fall he was terrific. I mean, it was almost like he was the easiest guy to coach because you just let him call his own game. I sit back, kick my feet up, and he just gets you a bunch of outs. And, you know, I think his weight has fluctuated this spring quite a bit. You know, just talking with him, he's had an illness or two that's, you know, he's been down to 180. He's been up to, you know, 195. He feels like he's finally got his strength back. And I think you'll see him pitch better down the stretch because of that. But as far as his development goes, you know, he's just, this is a tough development time of the year because you got to figure out like what you can do, what you're willing to do. Without taking a step back, you don't want to modify or change things too much to where, you know, you're getting a lesser version of him in the short term to get a great, you know, a great payback in the long term. More of a fall item, you know, I would say for him. And there are certainly things that he needs to address, just like the rest of them. But I think he's doing a great job. I mean, he's a strike thrower. He's a competitor, you know, similar to Becker, how I felt like Becker was last year. Like when Becker could remain emotionally stable and just compete, he was terrific. Same as Eli this year. I think when he's emotionally where he needs to be and he's just worrying about what he can control, he's been great for us.
After this season, you're going to lose probably three of your starters in James Hicks and maybe another guy or two. How much do you keep an eye on trying to develop guys for next year too, knowing that you're going to lose so many innings when it comes in,
sure,
it comes to making decisions on whether it be a starter, you know, in whatever kind of situation.
Right. Well, I mean, this as far as like the roles this year, you know, the guys that earn it get it. You know, we're not looking ahead too much as far as like who gets the starting roles necessarily, but like as far as the growth and development on the side, you know, we're always keeping an eye on that. I mean, and you're right, we're going to lose guys, we're going to lose the important guys, we're going to lose leaders, we're going to lose guys that bring more than just what they do out there on the dirt. But we like the growth and development of a lot of those guys we've talked about. We love where Eli Jones is at. I mean, he's been terrific start to finish. He's gotten better. He will continue to get better. Matthew Becker. We're excited to get Roman Kimball back. We're excited to get Ricky Williams back. Excited about Eli Jerzenbeck and his growth. So all of those guys in the short term adding different layers to how they can, you know, as a starter now, the difference being if Eli Jones is asked to come in or if James Hicks is asked to come in as a reliever, he may need one or two pitches. As a starter, you're going to need three or four. You're going to need to be able to go through that lineup twice, maybe three times. So just adding and building layers for those guys into the future where you may not see it right now, but, you know, those guys are doing a good job with those things on the side.